How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
I don't know what's happening right now. Does it get better?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Digital funk. All right. Welcome back to Apologia Radio. That's the last time Luke's picking music. I'm just joking.
Whatever. I played that for Jeremy. He said he liked that one.
Did he? Okay, all right. Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Coming back from an amazing, amazing last segment with Gary DeMar from the American Vision. Get some stuff, guys. Go there. Get those books. Eat them up. Gobble them up. Get a part of the conversation, guys. And the big thing I want to try to get everyone to get their hands around is the fact that Jesus is King. He has brought his kingdom. It's expanding throughout the entire world. The nations are his inheritance. Jesus says, as the Messianic King, as he leaves, he says, go make disciples of all nations, which was anticipated in the Old Testament, that the nations, Isaiah chapter 2, were going to be drawn up to the mountain of God. The law was going to go out from Zion. It talks about how Jesus, the kingdom of the Messiah, was going to be in Daniel 2, a stone cut out of a mountain that would grow and be a mountain that filled the entire earth. Jesus says, when he comes, he says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, this small seed that would grow into this tree where the birds of the air would nest into the branches. He talks about how it'd be like leaven in a lump of dough, how that permeates the entirety of the loaf. That was the vision of the Messiah from the Old Testament. And then here comes the Messianic King coming in, and he's saying that very thing. The gospel of the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what John the Baptist says. That's what Jesus says, what the apostles say. John, the apostle, he talks about he's partaking in the tribulation in Revelation chapter 1, says that he has made us a kingdom, priests. We're there, guys, and so now the kingdom's expanding. That's what we want to get you to get your hands around, and then leave a legacy for the gospel. Proclaim the good news to the world. And so with that, we're going to enter into some current issues, but not before I tell you a quick beard story myself.
Uh-oh.
Luke was going to say you had a little beard nod the other day, right?
Yeah.
You got someone gave you the beard nod?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm driving in California. Took a little 2 or 3 day break in California. Driving down this California street, and I see these two dudes. I'm talking about glorious beards. You could tell they were glorious beards from behind. And I said in the car, I said, those are some glorious beards. And then as we drove by, I made sure I looked over so I can give him the beard nod.
Yeah.
But as I passed by these two dudes with these glorious beards, I noticed that the one dude with the best beard had a pink fanny pack on.
Oh, nice.
Which canceled the entire thing out. So I was about to say, I was about to give them a nod, but then I said, no, you don't get a nod. No, that fanny pack is nothing to do with the Christian worldview.
Maybe he's just like really efficient.
No, I don't care. Don't wear fanny packs. Not allowed. Okay, pick one. You either have the fanny pack with no beard and a clean shaven face, or you get the beard with no fanny pack. But no fanny packs, guys. Contrary to the Christian worldview.
And actually, if you don't have a beard, we're going to just assume that you have a fanny pack that you wear all the time.
All the time. It's in there.
Yep.
We know what it is. We know it is, fellas.
At home.
would it?
You get out of the shower, the first thing you do is not the towel, but the fanny pack.
Would it be fair to say that if you're a believer and you're a male and you don't have a beard, you have a spiritual fanny pack?
Yes, it's there all the time. All the time. You sleep with it on. You get up to pour yourself a bowl of cereal. You're like, I need a fanny pack. All right, so hey, welcome back. Luke, bring us into current events stuff, because we're talking about the Christian worldview impacting the world. Let's get into some current events.
I think this fanny pack discussion brings us right into our next topic.
Oh, okay. It doesn't. Okay. All right.
No. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, we talked about how with Gary, just the dispensational eschatology kind of has bred a defeatist mentality. And, you know, and so we're talking about the culture is where it is today because the church has felt defeated and it's kind of just checked out from the culture.
Right.
So what we're talking about today is kind of what where we're at, where this has brought us to. So if we're talking about the story that came out this week with Jason Collins. He's an NBA basketball player that came out this week and said he was gay. And I'm talking about this because Jeff doesn't know the difference between a hockey puck and a football.
Dude, I know what football is. I know what football is.
What is it?
I've swished.
Yeah, see? no, I am very much a huge sports fan. Jeff is not.
I like to kick people in the head.
Yeah, he likes to kick people in the head.
That's it.
And Joy's indifferent, so. Anyways, I just got a really, really mean look from Joy. It was like, I'm just kidding.
I didn't mean for it to be
No, I'm just
mean.
Kidding. You didn't. Anyway,
I meant for it to be indifferent.
Well played. So, you know, this is like a big story because they've been talking for months now that there was going to be these athletes coming out all at the same time on the same day. And, like, it's just a big deal because this has never happened in professional sports. So, anyways, it happens this week. And, I mean, just to give an example, the title of this article I just want to kind of read through real quick. NBA center Jason Collins sets the stage and a wonderful example for gay athletes. And the most amazing thing about this article is that it's written by a baseball writer, not even someone that writes for basketball. And that's just how it's kind of transcended into the whole sports world. So I just kind of wanted to, you know, it's silly. There's been Doc Rivers, the coach of the Celtics, compared Jason Collins to Jackie Robinson, which is just ridiculous. Jackie Robinson is, if you don't know anything about Jackie Robinson, he was a black baseball player. He was the first player in the major leagues that was black, and it's a big deal. Like, he went through a lot of junk. He took a lot of heat, a lot of prejudice and abuse, and he you know, did a noble thing and you know, showed that black people can play sports as well, and that they're not, like, you know, incapable of competing with white people. So now we got coaches saying that being gay is the same thing as having black skin, which is just mind-blowing and ridiculous.
Let's talk about that for a second. Yeah. It's such a poor argument to try to compare being gay with being a particular skin color and the oppression that existed from, say, one race to another in the past, to whites to blacks and everything else, to compare that to homosexuality, because, see, the difference is, it should be quite apparent to anybody who thinks about it, is that being black is immutable. It's unchangeable. I mean, it's an immutable thing. Being black is a skin color. It's a race. It's immutable. But homosexuality as a lifestyle is not immutable. It is changeable. And so there's a significant difference there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is even, to show you where we're at in the culture, President Obama called Jason Collins the day this article came out and congratulated him. And
unbelievable.
Yeah, so that just shows you where we're at. But so this article, I just want to read real quick, and then when we come back in the next segment, we'll play a video. So this writer goes on to say that there have already been and will be comments from bigots, homophobes, and simple, pathetic provocateurs as well. Is that how you say it? Provocators? Provocator. I guess it looks weird. They'll be discredited, mocked, and ultimately pitied in pretty short and overwhelming order if they haven't already have been. We're in a very different world now than even a decade ago, thankfully. So that was the part I wanted to read. And then when we come back, we'll play a video from ESPN analyst Chris Broussard, who, praise God, stood up for truth.
Right.
And he's taking a lot of heat for it. So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. This is important because you have to understand where we're at as a culture now. As Christians, we need to bring the gospel into this issue. Of course, call people to repentance and faith. But you need to stand up and be counted as a Christian for the glory of God, to be salt to the culture where it goes and collapses into this lifestyle is a good thing. You need to say something to it. You need to bring the gospel into it in a loving and of course, a bold way. You have to be a part of this conversation. Know this, you will be called a bigot and a homophobe, but you have to stand up for Jesus. We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
We'll be right back.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is. And LZ knows that. He and I have played on basketball teams together for several years. We've gone out, had lunch together. We've had good conversations, good laughs together. He knows where I stand, and I know where he stands. I don't, you know, criticize him. He doesn't criticize me and call me a bigot, call me ignorant, call me intolerant. And that I hear, and talking to some people around the league, there are a lot of Christians in the NBA. And they don't want to be, just because they disagree with that lifestyle, they don't want to be viewed and called bigoted and intolerant and things like that. And that's what LZ was getting at. Just like I may tolerate someone whose lifestyle I disagree with, he can tolerate my beliefs, and he disagrees with my beliefs and my lifestyle, but true tolerance and acceptance is being able to handle that as mature adults and not criticize each other and call each other names. Personally, I don't believe that you can live an openly homosexual lifestyle or an openly premarital sex between heterosexuals. If you're openly living that type of lifestyle, then the Bible says you know them by their fruits. It says that, you know, that's a sin. And if you're openly living in unrepentant sin, whatever it may be, not just homosexuality, adultery, fornication, premarital sex between heterosexuals, whatever it may be, I believe that's walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ. So I would not characterize that person as a Christian, because I don't think the Bible would characterize him as a Christian.
Well, there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
God.
I was shocked.
Praise God. Yeah. And I think what's important how he framed that, right? He did the important thing, and that's that. Listen, I'm not just saying homosexuality like I'm picking on homosexuals,
right?
Like this is my thing. I want the homosexuals backed into a corner here. He's saying adultery, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, these are all sinful and disharmonious, and they're all categorized as sin in the Bible. And so, no, I'm not okay with that. And he says, and I think I like what he said there, is that if we're going to talk about tolerance and tolerating one another, we have to say we're tolerating each other without calling each other names like bigot and homophobe, yeah, and everything else, which is what happens today. It automatically goes to, you don't agree with me, bigot, homophobe.
Yeah.
I saw somebody in a Facebook discussion, somebody was disagreeing with homosexuality's lifestyle, saying, no, I don't think we should be doing that. And it wasn't even in your face kind of way. And the person came back and said, oh, you're just like, you're a homophobe, bigot, you're a racist. The person said, racist? It's just this, anything but the kitchen, everything but the kitchen and the kitchen sink you could get thrown at you today. So, Joy, when you hear this, what's your response? What are you thinking about this?
Well, I think he put it really, really well.
Yeah.
I don't think he could have done a better job.
It was wonderful.
He didn't sidestep any of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just kind of confronted it. I like how he said that, I think it's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong, I believe what the Bible says.
Well, that's important too, right, Joy? I mean, people will sometimes try to defend the quote-unquote conservative values, but they'll do it apart from Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And their argument always collapses. It doesn't make sense. That's why I say conservative talk radio apart from the biblical worldview is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes an ignorant enterprise to pursue.
Well, that's where it really comes to light as homophobia,
right,
or bigotry,
right?
When you don't really, I mean, we don't really have a reason for disagreeing with someone other than just like they're different or you don't
right.
like them.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's the common argument that is that label, I should say, that's applied to Christians, is that the reason why we're against same-sex marriage is because they're different and we just
right.
don't like them. We just
right.
don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the furthest from, I mean, I guess if I'm just going to speak personally, I guess I can't really speak for everyone else,
yeah,
but it has nothing to do with that for me. It
right.
doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it's different or that I don't like it.
Yeah. If it's just a matter of subjectivity and personal preference, then a homosexual has every right to be upset with you.
Yeah.
If it's just a matter of personal preference and you're going to be oppressive over it.
Yeah.
This is my personal preference. That's your personal preference. But I think yours is really stupid and ugly and wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, then the homosexual has every right to be upset about that. Because if it's just a matter of personal preference, then okay, you have every right to be upset.
But even then, even if they're upset, if they're going to preach tolerance,
they
have to be tolerant.
They have to be tolerating it. But what Chris did, right? Mm-hmm. What he does is he roots it in Scripture and says, this is what God says that it is.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that if you're doing this, you're living in open rebellion against God, and somebody that's doing that can't call themselves a Christian, which, by the way, is exactly the truth. Mm-hmm. Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about the fact that homosexuals and a whole category of sins there will not enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And so that's the truth. I can't be living in open rebellion against God, not to say, you know, I commit sins, so I can't be in the kingdom of God. But it's saying if I'm living in open rebellion against God, this is what defines me. No, I cannot be someone that claims that I am part of the kingdom of God and a Christian.
Right.
So he did a wonderful job.
Yeah, I'm just praising God for him. I was wondering when this story broke, I was like wondering who was going to be the first main person to speak out against it. And I'm actually surprised he didn't get immediately fired.
Well, he's taking a lot of heat, and ESPN, I read that ESPN actually went out of the way to write a public statement essentially apologizing for what he said and saying, well, you know, that has nothing to do with us kind of a thing. They felt the need to sort of defend the homosexual community and not their – it's amazing. It's Uber rights for the homosexual.
Yes.
Uber rights for the homosexual. They get the most rights. No one else gets to talk.
Yep.
We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Apologia Radio, the gospel heard around the world. Hit us up at ApologiaRadio.com. Go to the Facebook page, like it, share some episodes with your friends, with your family, with your...
Broses.
Yeah, girl. This is the gospel heard around the world. Also, go to our sponsor, the American Vision, AmericanVision.org and AmericanVision.com. Get some stuff. Tell them thank you in the comments section as you leave the store. Thank you for your support of Apologia Radio. We're talking about this issue of homosexuality and the culture addressing it. Let me just play a quick clip from a radio program where Chris Broussard, is that how I say his name?
Yeah.
Chris Broussard was on the radio program after he spoke on the news clip that we're talking about. This is an interesting way how the culture frames the discussion. After he said it, with love, mm-hmm. with respect, calling himself essentially a sinner, saying that we're all sinners, but this is open rebellion against God and it is sin. This is how the culture interprets a Christian faithfully communicating what the Bible has to say about this.
Power 105.1 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, yesterday, Charlemagne gave this man Donkey of the Day.
Yes, this beige brother on the phone, Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard, good morning, from ESPN, of course.
What's happening, y'all? How you doing?
Now, first question, Chris, do you not like homosexuals?
I'm fine with homosexuals.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? He says, I disagree with homosexuality, and I think that it's a sin against God because God defines it as such. And what's the culture's first response?
So you don't like homosexuals?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. So when a homosexual disagrees with me, when I say that I believe that God has created us as male and female in harmonious relationships with one another to bless each other and our kids in the world, when I say that, all of us, and homosexuals, I disagree with that. I think there are other ways. Is it even logical and consistent for me to say, oh, so you don't like me?
Yeah.
You don't like me? Does that make sense? It's this whiny, childlike response to what really needs to be an intellectual discussion, and is a really deeply spiritual discussion, and it is just shows the deplorable nature of our culture's thought processes. To say, but our culture has not been taught to think at all.
Right.
Yeah.
You disagree? You don't like me?
Right.
Because I didn't. No, no, no. We can't. That's just insane. Just the culture that cannot think.
I have no problem with homosexuals. Obviously, as I stated on ESPN, I'm a Christian. But I come across all types of people who are living lifestyles that I may not agree with. Not just homosexuals, and I can get along with, you know, people, come across people like that on an everyday basis. Obviously, covering the NBA, I come across various lifestyles. So
you sound like the white. You sound like the white guy. You know, the white guy that says, "I'm not racist. I got black friends." That's what you just sounded like.
Hey, whatever.
Amazing.
There you go.
Amazing. It cannot help in this culture but just make just graphic category errors.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about a decision that a person makes with regard to their sexuality, right? And then that all of a sudden gets transferred into a parallel discussion about race.
Yep.
Our culture has not been taught to think.
Nope.
This is the problem. Obviously, there's the spiritual element you always need to talk about first, that we go into futile thoughts, our foolish hearts are darkened, we profess to be wise, we become fools. There's a necessary spiritual element to the fact that the fall has affected our reasoning processes, so there's that. But it's also a cultural thing that's bantied. It's something that everyone catches from one another on this issue. And I think it has a lot to do with our public school education system. People are taught from a very early age now that if you disagree with homosexuality, it's homophobic, it's bigotry, and everything else. And so that becomes something that our culture just adopts, that if you're a Christian and you disagree with homosexuality, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're just like the old racists of the 60s. There's a popular picture that went about on Facebook a while back, and it showed these just people protesting against black issues, the white people like in the 50s with the signs against you know, black stuff. And it said basically people who are against gay marriage today are like those people. Yeah. They're going to feel real stupid 50 years from now.
Are you going to feel stupid?
Yeah,
you're going to feel stupid 50 years from now like those people. What are we even talking about here? Yeah.
No, well, I say you're going to feel stupid 50 years from now when God judges you and condemns this nation for supporting that.
Yeah.
Well, and it all, I mean, I think this is something that occurs across the board on a lot of issues, all the moral decay issues that we have going on.
Right.
And it's just all about, you know, what George Orwell talked about with this. It's like a not necessarily even a switch of words, but words that are not synonymous, that are that little equal sign is being put in between the two of them.
You're exactly
right. And all of a sudden, this word means this word.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with same-sex marriage, that means that you are a racist.
Yes.
And those two things, they're really, like, if you look at them objectively, they're not the same thing.
Not at all.
If you want to say that both of them are hateful, okay, but they're not the same. Mm. And the fact that they're being used interchangeably shows that we really aren't thinking about things like that.
Yeah.
That we can, someone can just easily change a word on us and we just accept that as truth. We just accept it, and then we'll promote it too. We'll promote little sound bites of what we perceive to be as true, but it's not true at all.
It's demonization. Now, if the force of your argument is a demonization of the other person, then you've lost the debate as far as I'm concerned. Can we keep this discussion in the realm of the intellectual rather than demonization of the other person? Because see, I'm not trying to demonize the homosexual community in that sense in their discussion. I want to come to what does God say about this? How do we know what any sexuality is good or true or beautiful? Right. I want to have those discussions. I don't want to just portray you as a disgusting, nasty, sharp tooth, fang, claw, dripping like stuff out of your mouth guy just coming after you. And, you know, I can't. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I want to bring this discussion down to the intellectual realm. I want to ask the question, what does the Bible say about this? First and foremost, what does God say about this? Well, he says lots about this. There's numerous passages that talk about this. You got to start at the creation account. What does God call good in reference to harmonious image-bearer relationship of God? He talks about in the beginning, male and female created the image of God in them. And so you have male and female relationships, and that's the beginning of creation. That's what God gives to us. Then you have in the law specifically, God speaks specifically to this issue. He says, verse 22 of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 22 of Leviticus, he says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Toeva, very strong word. "And you shall not lie with any animal, so make yourself unclean with it. Neither shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is a perversion." And what's amazing about this is that what God says afterwards. Okay, listen closely. He says, do not, verse 24, make yourselves unclean by any of these things, for by all these things the nations I am driving out before you have become unclean. And the land became unclean so that I punished its iniquity, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. Mm. Interestingly, God, in Leviticus chapter 18, starting at verse 22, he says basically, for this, these specific sins, these things, I am driving out the nations, and the land has vomited them out because of these things. Interestingly, they didn't get the law at Sinai, but God said it was because of these specific things that God was driving them out of the land. So interestingly, that God is showing that this relationship of sexual harmony between male and female, not between male and male, female and female, or male and dog and female and horse, all these, you know what I'm saying, animal, God is saying that these specific sins are sins that God drove out the inhabitants of the other lands.
Yeah.
And so this is a harmonious aspect of creation that is something that is unavoidable. And what's interestingly, if you want to hear about the unavoidable nature of this, you want to look at Romans chapter 1. This is very powerful. Romans chapter 1, Paul, after he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who express the truth in unrighteousness, he says very specifically, after he talks about they know God, but they've exchanged the glory of the immortal God for an image, he says, verse 24, therefore, Romans chapter 1, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. God says yep. that one of the displays of judgment upon a people is when he gives them over to do what? What is against nature. And that is where men lie with men and women with women. And one of the displays of judgment is when that happens. People ask the question a lot of times, you think America's going to be in a judgment? You think America's going to be in a judgment? You think God's going to come? We're already there. The wrath of God is already abiding in people, and we're already at a place in our society where when this is the accepted norm, and it's promoted and applauded as a good thing,
right.
we're already under judgment. Know that, Christian. We're not waiting for judgment in a culture. Is it here yet? Is it in America yet? Is it coming? I mean, it's here. When our culture says this is a good thing, and if you disagree with it, you're wrong, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're evil, you're likened to a racist, we're already under the judgment of God.
Yep.
And what does the Bible say? Verse 32 of chapter 1, it says, though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Mm. Man, if that doesn't describe America in the 21st century, I don't know what does. Mm. It says that everybody knows. Mm. The people who commit these things, not just, by the way, homosexuality is not the only thing in there. Right. It also talks about evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful. It's the whole package, guys. But when a society goes that direction, they know God's decree, those who practice such things deserve to die. It's that they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's what our culture does right now. It's the applause of homosexuality as a good thing.
Yep.
And how, again, do we get out of this? It's not going to be by running from the culture.
Right.
It's not going to be by pretending that it's not really happening. And it's not certainly not going to be us saying, well, I don't want to get attacked and called a bigot, so I'm not going to say anything. You have to stand up and say, no, this is against, it's contrary to nature. It's contrary to God's ways. It is, in fact, sin. And if you don't repent and turn from this sin to God, there is no forgiveness. There is no life. There is no peace. Listen, if we approach this issue in a passive way, we get nowhere. If we just keep this as conversational, and I'm not really going to speak against it as sin, that's just your choice, that's just what you want to do, we get nowhere. And the gospel never penetrates the culture. We need to proclaim the gospel, which starts with a proclamation of sin, and of course we need to wrap this issue up in it. We can't come to this in a passive way. We need to advance as the kingdom of God into the culture and be salt to this issue. Salt to this issue is going to be coming to the culture saying, listen, if you go this direction, God has already decreed that you are going to collapse and be under judgment. If you go this direction, if you accept this as okay, if you applaud those that do, your society will collapse. You will go under. The gospel needs to be communicated clearly in this issue. And this is sin.
Yes.
All right, guys.
If I can just kind of wrap up everything we've talked about in this show, you know, we've talked about, as far as eschatology goes, that we believe the Bible teaches that Christ's kingdom will conquer. And, you know, we're headed in that direction. And that's why we need to confront the culture with the gospel, because, you know, Christ's kingdom is going to conquer. That being said, that doesn't mean it's going to happen with the United States of America intact.
Amen.
And I think we have this haughty attitude in America that, well, we're supreme and superior. It's not the case.
No.
God's judgment's here.
That's right. And you're right, Luke. We're not fighting on this show for America
right.
at all. We're saying the kingdom of God needs to advance in the world. We happen to be in America. Let me just say this right now. If you're not in a foreign land sent by God as a missionary there, this is your mission field. Let's do this. Wake up to the culture around you. Bring the gospel to it. Expect persecution. Expect to possibly die. Expect to get beat up. And listen, it ain't going to happen unless we proclaim the gospel faithfully, repentance and faith towards God. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Be reconciled to God. Turn from sin to God and be reconciled to God. We need to proclaim that message and proclaim it faithfully to this culture, accepting everything that comes. This is Jeff Durbin, Luke Pearson, Joy Timby. We're out. ApologiaRadio.com.